Thank you very much. We're very much over time, but we do want to discuss the definition stuff. So I'd like to invite Wendell Oske and Tom Igo to come up and join me on stage. We're going to have like a sort of a crushed feedback session. So let me open. Can you unhook this? Yeah, 1 second. Wendell, can I ask you to introduce the definition in a few words? I just need to download the document and then we can get going.
Hi, I'm Wendell Oske still. We have in some number of different venues been discussing and taking feedback on the 0.3 definition for a couple of months now, and incorporating some of that into what we're calling the 0.4 definition. It's not authoritative and no one's saying this is the thing, but I bet a lot of you have feedback you'd like to give us, and like just a few minutes of discussion about what it really would take for everyone to be happy with a 1.0 definition.
So, do you want to explain the rules of the game?
Sure. I am going to have no official opinion on the license. I'm just here to be the bad cop. The rules are as follows. Number one, be nice to each other. Number two, because we want to get as many possible opinions as possible, please keep your remarks succinct. You'll have 1 minute to get to the question mark, if there's a question.
And we don't guarantee to have the answer.
That was my next point. Yeah, perfect. In fact, many of these questions you're going to raise are things that we hope to write down and really get to in the wiki in getting into the license as well. For longer points, please, especially those of you, which is almost everybody in the room who's passionate about us, join us in the wiki in discussing it. And think of this session as fodder for some really good discussion over drinks that will lead to the wiki. And now you'd like to say.
I'd like to say probably the right place to discuss this are the open hardware forums rather than the wiki. If you do have some confidence that you can propose a good change, by all means, please do so on the wiki.
Yeah, what he said. Yellow card will mean you've got 30 seconds. Red card will mean shut up.
Okay, so, wow. How did we do this again? Well, I'll scroll in between. So the definition, the 0.3 definition, has been public since sometime in July, and it's gotten blogged about in a few places. A lot of people wrote their opinion. There's been a lot of good feedback related to the definition, people happy with it, people excited that the movement is moving forward. I would like to stress that this is a definition meaning a set of norms that we're trying to come up with, not a license. So it is not a legal document. So, you know, all these questions, let's not ask them. So the definition's been online for a while. I've attempted to collect sort of a lot of the comments that have been posted on below blog posts, in the forums. This is definitely not a comprehensive list of comments that we have. However, Wendell has been very active on the forum. The Open Hardware Summit has a forum where we discuss definition, and people have been giving specific feedback and asking specific questions. So we are going to be looking at the draft that we have. This is a little bit of a boring process, but unfortunately there's no other way to do this. Please go ahead and ask your question, make your comment related to a particular clause or the general definition, what you would like to see, what you think don't work, or propose alternate wording. Let me show you what the sort of document, sort of feedback collection document looks like. This is ugly. So basically listing what the actual definition is, with underneath it a series, you know, what each clause is, and underneath it what some people proposed, what are some people's sort of critique of that particular clause, etc. So there are three particularly contentious points, I think, and Wendell can elaborate more on that because he has more experience. Can I say a word about that before we take questions or feedback?
There has been some disagreement about to what extent open file formats should be required, to what extent necessary software should be required, and what was the third? No, that wasn't contentious.
Oh.
There's something else, too. Yeah, but I'm sure you'll ask it real soon and we'll remember.
So far, the resolution for that has been pushed out over to the license side?
We have sort of started to recognize, I think, collectively that there is a continuum of different things that we refer to as open source, and we are trying to reform the definition to allow a broader spectrum of licenses.
So sorry, I just wanted to add to that. So the first contentious sort of point is the documentation. The second point is necessary software, and derived work is a little bit of a discussion as well, as well as a couple of points that were made about the definition in general or some additional clauses that should be added. So, okay, yes, go ahead.
Hi, my name is John Masters. I actually work at Red Hat, but I'm not here today entirely in that capacity. The license is good. I like it. But I have a comment on item number 10 in the license, which is...
The definition.
Definition, sorry. I'm in a license mode today. in the definition. Now, everything here talks about building hardware, for example. If I had even VHDL code or something, I could build it. I could have the tools. I could put together my hardware platform. But if I design, or somebody designs a system that uses cryptography, or hardware fuses, or has other built-in mechanisms that can be used in a sort of TiVoization sense of, GPL v3 sense of designing in the ability to lock down the use, the specific clause here doesn't seem to address that. I wish to design this hardware such that I can basically, give you everything, but without the cryptographic keys that I'm using, you can't do anything at all with it, and I'm going to put some fuses in, these fuses that they evilly sneak into chips now, so that they can blow the software fuse and then the chip just ceases to operate. You could still design hardware like that, call it open, but it would be completely useless. So I feel there should be something in here. It doesn't have to be GPL v3 kind of that level, but something that handles that. Thank you.
It would be great if you could bring that up in the forum and propose some language.
I will do that, yeah.
Thank you.
Actually, great point, yeah.
So, Wendell, this is sort of directed at you. A lot of the discussion has been about the, from the board layout down of this hardware, and people are even getting into, how do we make custom silicon, and that's awesome. But I'm sort of interested in the board layout up. So how do you productify this object? And is there, I know this is not a license, but are there norms about that productification? Particularly, I'm interested in the, I think it's the 11th clause, which talks about the designs being technology neutral. To what extent does that technological neutrality extend to everyone in the world, or just people in the developed world, or just nerds who have laser cutters? For example, I think that the Candy Fab is a fabulous thing, and I think you guys have done a great job of making it makeable. If you had
made
it,
I think it's
wonderful. I mean, relative to a custom cast bronze Candy Fab, which would only be accessible to five people in the world, now at least it's accessible to 5 million people in the world, even though that's still not very many. So to what extent do we incorporate that stuff?
That sounds like more of a question we should talk about afterwards rather than for the definition.
Yeah, no, that's probably true.
Thanks.
I'd like to point out that if somebody from the audience wants to answer a question or a comment that was raised, please raise your hand and we'll try to find a way to do
Actually,
that.
I'd like to say something on that. Wendell already mentioned this, and I think perhaps it bears a little elaboration, that just as we recognize that there are going to be infinite turtles all the way down in the electronics side, I think my personal goal in a lot of this is thinking about open source manufacturing, open source fabrication, and open source design. So I think we're going to need a lot of licenses for that, but those of you who are really interested in those things, I would really encourage you to do some thinking about it and, frankly, fork the project a bit, because we really need to think about those issues as well.
I'd like to start by excusing myself for not having read it yet. because I was not prepared to come to this summit. I just figured out 2 days ago that there would going to be this. But I've been actively participating in discussions about free software and how to stretch its concepts to hardware, and also actively participating in the Linux Libre project, which Peter Brown mentioned here, to remove proprietary firmware from the Linux kernel. So I've seen quickly, I'm not sure if I saw it correctly in the screen there, that it's mentioned what to do with the wireless firmware. If it's a conceptual definition of what is open hardware, I think we should not make it loose by accepting exceptions just to label it as open hardware. I think we should stick to principles. Like if it contains software that is not free, it shouldn't be labeled open hardware at all. We shouldn't make it a loose definition. Like we should stick to principles and try to push it harder and harder.
Sorry. That was so. This is one of the points of contention that a lot of people mention, and I mean, I would like to bring up a point that that Wendy brought up earlier, which is a license, in this case, a definition, should not be so adamant about defining a set of such strict rules, so that in its attempt to create freedom, it's in fact restricting freedom. So I'd like to put that question up. Sort of in relationship to...
I don't mean by putting restrictions. I mean by labeling it correctly.
Which, not accepting an exception, which is it's a significant piece of technology that we're talking about.
Yeah, it's significant, but it exists and it depends on non-free stuff. So it's not free. Another thing I would like to say is it's not good to be bound by specific software licenses. I think it's okay to just say it needs to be free software, like it needs to respect the four freedoms, just like that. No, it doesn't have to be bound to any specific license, of course.
Any comments, anybody?
This is the current text of how it's proposed, and it's in terms of an OSI approved license. And this has been one of our core issues of contention amongst those of us who have been discussing this online as to what extent we really do need to have software. I saw a definition from open source hardware dating back to about 10 years that said that the interfaces need to be documented, and that's all it said. And I think that's really right, that we don't necessarily need the software to be released, but it's sufficient if the data sheet is given to you, if there is documentation of the interfaces that you could write the software.
By that definition, if the device runs software inside of it, like firmware, wouldn't it have to be free software running inside of it?
No. I think that if we can't restrict this hardware to only run free software, you can't put that restriction on it. If I release a circuit board, it's okay if somebody wants to run Microsoft Office on it. I can't stop them, and I don't want to. But they can't require that you run proprietary software either. Anyway, this is a question we will not resolve now because we have a lot of different opinions about this here. Please bring it up in the forum and let's talk about it.
Okay, sure. Thanks.
Anyone from that side? No. Okay. Yes, sorry, go ahead.
Hi, I think that Article 5 is potentially problematic. So
you mean the 6 in this one, I think.
Oh, is it 6? Yeah, the attribution article, I think, is potentially problematic.
This is the BSD advertising clause, as it's known, that the BSD license originally required that you say this is copyright University of California, and it exploded into some 75 different attributions required in every license. This is a sticky point because
why do you think it's problematic?
So I think basically that the open source software community started off with the same intuition And then what they quickly realized was that, you know, when open source works, there are like hundreds and hundreds of contributors to any given project, and it just becomes ridiculous to like attach that list.
I personally am in favor of striking the first sentence in that clause.
I mean, so I think it depends on like exactly how you handle it, because the problem with BSD1 is like every time you mentioned it, you had that like whole list, which got crazy. So possibly in the source code, you have a list of everyone who's involved in someone else would pick.
But the current clause says the license may require the right source to provide attribution. If a person is creating a license that who wants to create that requirement, I don't think it's fair to ask them to give that up or to not allow them.
So in the BSD thing, what it said was, this is like an historical thing that happened. The original BSD, which is like the root of all indices, it required that every time you mentioned or you advertise a product that has BSD in it, it said you must include the sentence, this product was developed by the University of UC Berkeley.
So, but what about this wording that says the license may require, as opposed to you are required to?
No, the problem was not everyone did it, but of the 1,000 people who contributed to it, 75 of them had it.
If you notice, though, and please let's call the discussion here and move to the forum if it goes longer. This says the definition will allow a BSD license and a GPL license where you either do or do not require it.
Well, the problem is, we do need to get on to other points, but I want to throw one last issue with this that may help us a little bit in thinking about other points too. This is one of those points that I think tries to codify an ideal we have in this community, but doesn't always work out as practical practice as you're pointing out. So perhaps one of the things we should look at in this license and other derivatives which will come from it is how we state things which are ideals but are not necessarily laws per se.
I just wanted to make that point that in practice,
you've got 15 seconds.
In the open source software community, like this isn't a problem here. So even though it's not required by license, like the whole thing is based on people getting credit for the work in general. So good point.
I'd like to just add my quick opinion on this, which is if we zoom out a little bit and not look at sort of the intricacies and the wording of every single clause between us, the goal, I think, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm mistaken, the goal is to push the open hardware movement forward, to get people excited about joining this definition, getting more projects excited about having sort of some, not protection, but some backing from a community that believes in the same ideas they are, and eventually making open hardware and making hardware in an open source fashion. So, I mean, we have a bigger world out there that we need to fight or we need to bring to our camp, so this is my opinion, that this is something that, you know, yes, some case-by-case basis with very detailed, you know, scenarios may not work, but let's just keep that in mind.
Maya, don't forget it's not what you want, but what you can live with.
So this is something that we've been discussing for a while, that let's think of this as not what we want, not the ideal, this is not my wish list, this is what I can live with, this is what is the minimum requirement.
We only have time for one or two more questions.
So my question and concern is a little bit more from the hardcore mechanical point of view and away from the ET, which has kind of been a little quiet at this conference. And my concern is about, one is the interchange format and exchange format. So in standard in 3D printing right now is STL, which is a mesh file format. You can't edit it. I mean, granted, you can look at the code, but there's no good way of going from a mesh to an editable file that you can get a good design from. So you pretty much preclude any design that you intend to be 3D printed from this. Additionally, there's no discussion of talking about in mechanical design method of production. So if I give you the CAD for a part, and even if it's high level and you can edit it, they don't say this should be made by injection molding or by machining at this tolerance level. It's useless to you without that additional information, which is required.
So to point one, we do talk about that. Okay. The STL format is exactly what we had in mind discussing the compiled binary equivalent. Like a Gerber file is very much like an STL file. It's not really editable. You need additional data. As to the second, that's a really interesting point. Would you please bring it up in our forums and see if there's any way we can or should discuss that in the definition.
And again, perhaps it's one of those cases where we do want to start to think about mechanical licensing as opposed to electronic licensing too.
Right. I feel like they have very different needs.
I agree.
I have two points here that were delivered by Steve. I don't think you can be silent on issues like liabilities or warranties. You need to make it clear that there is no right to use the open hardware designs because there may be patent infringement. I'll just read the three points. Second point is health and safety. Third point, can people build IP-like patents on top of an open hardware design? Is this viral? Three says that derived works may use the same terms, but it's okay if it doesn't. I can add these 90 to the forum, but I just wanted to see if anybody has any comments on that.
I'll throw one speculation out on the point of liability and warranty. Much of this license, I think, actually speaks to the originator of the information about how to make the thing, but not to the actual manufacturer. And likewise with the manufacturing, the chemical stuff we were just talking about, this now speaks to the manufacturer. I do think there's a need for open source, if we can call it that, warranties. I wrote one a couple of years ago, just a paragraph or so for a conference, and one of the ideas was this idea of manufacturer will make best efforts to repair it or to return the thing to its initial state, subject to any physical damage from the consumer. There's problems with that. There's problems with a lot of these, but I think that topic, while important, lies on the manufacturer, not on the originator of the thing.
One last question. Just quickly, if you release hardware and you don't attach any license to it, with the current wording, is it still compliant? Can you say this is open source hardware as long as you provide documentation, how to use it, and you know, you don't say anything else, you don't even like...
Until we have a definition for what it means to be open source hardware and licenses that you can license it under, it's really hard to say what that means. There are certain avenues that you can publish it, you know, public domain, for example, that are well-known and well-established, but it's hard to say beyond that until we get on from the ground here.
And in fact, it's also worth mentioning on that, that, yeah, this is not an authority yet. In fact, the whole discussion just grew up among a bunch of us who were making and selling open source hardware. And he said, well, why don't we try and figure out what our common practices are and start to build a definition from there. There's all kinds of holes, but this, at least at this point, starts to list common practices. Maybe in doing this, we're also going to find out where our common practices are stupid and change them. So we want to hear that from everybody.
I think we'll take one more question here from the audience.
Comment and question. If it is a significant enough improvement, you could likely get a patent on top of an open design, not legal advice. And question about how it was originally important to the open source software community to prevent the commercialization of a derivative and how we could potentially achieve that with open source software.
Jeez, I don't know. Does anybody care to hazard a guess?
Like a reach-through material transfer agreement where you've got to click through if you're only distributing on the web.
We're trying to prevent commercial use, trying to make a non-commercial license. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Well, that's a very common question. And the basic thing is that open source is a term, and if we're working with open source, the well-established meaning of that is that we allow commercial use. We do not try and prevent it.
Of the derivatives?
And we explicitly say in this definition in the prior draft that you cannot charge royalty on derivatives. You cannot require a royalty on derivatives, sorry.
Yeah. Some of the wording came from Bruce, right?
Yes, yeah, I was gonna... came directly from the OSD.
I really hate to cut this short, but I think we have to... Okay.
It was just more of a comment on why I allow commercial use for all of my open source projects, because I want people to take that and innovate with that. And when you're doing hardware, physical hardware, there is physical cost for doing this. Like for me to get a kit to market, I'm looking at $1,000 to $2,000. I need to make that money back. Like I do this for a living. This is what I do. And so one of my kits, they actually... my first kit, the Open Heart, it's just an Arduino shield that pops on that you can animate with it.
And everybody was asking for a version that had a microcontroller built on it. And I was like, yeah, I'll get to it eventually. And 2 years later, somebody actually came out with that. Somebody did it. And they did the attribution, they followed the license, and that is perfect because they moved forward with it. And then on top of that, they improved the library. They allowed for grayscaling and other things like that that I was then able to fold back into my main project. And it helped both of us. So the entire purpose for having the licenses being open for me personally, which I would like to see in licenses, that commercial use needs to be allowed because otherwise you're not going to physically develop the hardware. So.
Point taken. We're going to continue this conversation over alcohol. Just say one thing related to this. Thank you very much, Wendell and Tom. Obviously, this was not at all easy.
Personal red or yellow cards, they're here on the table.
Please, it's very important, whoever is interested, on the Open Hardware Summit website, there are forums where we are actively discussing the definition. Your opinions are very important, your ideas, your wordings, your proposals, please bring them to the forums. We don't have time to discuss this all. And really, let's move forward as a community.
And drinks are on the golf course, and you can play mini golf while you're drinking. Thank you, everyone. And thank you for all the speakers, sponsors, volunteers, attendees, everything, and let's see.